Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Danny Lurie, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. With another couple days off, we don't know exactly how many, I wanted to take some time to go through my view of the Warrior-centric approach to the playoffs so far. Really, what the takeaways are, what has been significant, what has been interesting, and I think the most important place to start is with health. While the Warriors have not been healthy the whole way through, you had Matt Barnes missing games early, Sean Livingston missing games early, Kevin Durant having the calf issue earlier, they are coming through to the Western Conference Finals as healthy as a team could reasonably expect to be at this point. And that is exceedingly important because they have gotten through it and it's all prologue now in terms of Durant and everything else, unless there's an issue of a recurrence. And remember that they also have something like a week off between the win against Utah on Monday night and their next series, whenever that is. And also remember that whoever their opponent is has been dealing with injuries that will not be corrected by the time they play the Warriors. So Houston, Nene is out for the remainder of the playoffs. Tony Parker is out for the remainder of the playoffs. And we don't know what the status of Kawhi Leonard is. Leonard had a weird knee issue earlier in Game 5, which was tonight in San Antonio 1. And then the more serious thing appeared to be in the third quarter, he injured his left ankle, so the opposite leg, when he was turning around and stepped on James Harden's foot. We haven't gotten a specific diagnosis at this point. Kawhi says that he's going to play in Game 6, but obviously that is not entirely his conclusion. So the Warriors not only have the benefit of rest, but they also have the benefit of the reduction of the chance of injury. It is not eliminated because players get hurt doing all sorts of things. They get hurt in practices, they get hurt in warm-ups, so you can't make any sort of guarantee, but they're in a better position and they're not putting strain on themselves because, again, whoever the Warriors play in the next round, that team is going to be more exerted over the last little bit. That's going to be, they're going to have at least one elimination game to set the stage a little bit. San Antonio will play Game 6 in Houston. If they win that game, then they will play 2 days later in Oracle against the Warriors. And if they lose that game and it goes to a Game 7, then the Warriors series, the Western Conference Finals, will start on Tuesday, which is also the day of the NBA draft lottery, for those that are interested in that. So the health part of this is extremely important, and I think a big takeaway, and it dovetails with my second point, which is the idea of workload. The Warriors have gone through the entire playoff run so far, 8 games, not only without playing too many contests themselves, but also by not working their existing players too hard. Draymond Green is the only Warrior who has played more than 35 minutes per game, and Stephen Curry, I put this stat, it was in the piece I wrote for The Athletic on Monday night's game, so it came out Monday night, was that Stephen Curry has only played 32 fourth quarter minutes so far. And sure, you can have high strain minutes at any point during a game, but that is a good calibrator that while the Warriors play intensely throughout, that they haven't really had to push that way. They haven't had to get really crazy with that. They even haven't had that many high minute games. They've had a couple, I think it was Game 3 against Portland, a couple of guys really exerted. But other than that, there hasn't been that just huge push. And when you consider that LeBron James is playing almost 43 minutes a game, that's certainly a major difference. And again, that goes not only to mitigation of injury, but just the idea of having more tread on your tires at the end of the year. So that's something that I want to watch moving forward. And it is not predictive, but it is useful to have. The other huge takeaway that I have so far, and yes, you can mention the fact that both Portland and Utah had key contributors that missed significant time in their series, George Hill and Jusuf Nurkić being the most prominent among them, but the Warriors have been really good in the playoffs so far. They are leading the NBA in net rating, which is basically points scored versus points against, scaled for 100 possessions, so that balances things like pace. The Warriors are at plus 17.4 per 100 possessions. Cleveland is at plus 11, again, another team that hasn't lost. And the Spurs are at plus 4. The Spurs are in third. Granted, the Spurs also played, you know, a really competitive series against the Grizzlies, and they're playing a competitive series against the Rockets, but that gives you an idea of kind of where they are. The Warriors are first in team defense by a mile. They're 5 points per 100 possessions about ahead of everyone else, and the only team that's within the only one other team is within 9 of them, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks allowed 101.5. They're already out. They've been out for a while. And the Warriors are second in offense behind Cleveland. So you have that piece of it, that the Warriors have played well. However, you can also make a point, and I think this should go in the Warriors' favor, that they haven't dominated consistently. They have absolutely had moments, because you could go to game 4, the first quarter of the Blazers game. You can go to the third quarter of game 3 against the Blazers. You can go to the big comebacks, actually the big comeback in game 3 of the Utah game, or the dominant stretch at the beginning of game 4. But they haven't really had those start to finish just crushers other than game 4 against the Blazers. And the Warriors are certainly capable of that against just about anybody. We saw the Warriors run Cleveland off the floor during their only appearance at Oracle. We've seen some dominant performances against the Rockets and other teams. So this is not something that is just an aberration, or that is a part of just the early stages of the playoffs and not a part of it later on. Granted, I expect the Warriors to get challenged from everybody they play from here on out, but the idea that they are dominating and they haven't been at their best so far matters in terms of the long term. This isn't a team that has peaked. This is a team that is still working there, and there is no guarantee that they will ever, you know, reach whatever that peak is this season, but the idea that they can get better should be encouraging. And then the other really massive thing that the Warriors have done so far is that they've been able to test out and stress test a lot of their non-star players. So you never know if the sample is going to be representative, but by and large, JaVale McGee has played well in the playoffs. He's done a nice job of executing what the Warriors wanted, and they've been able to use him in spots. Similar story with Zaza Pachulia. He hasn't been as consistently great. JaVale McGee is actually leading the playoffs in net rating right now, which is ludicrous. It's over 30, over plus 30 right now. And David West has done well too. There are some issues with him in terms of movement. I thought he looked a little bit slow in game 4 against the Jazz, but that might be something that a week of largely rest can fix. It's hard to know at this point. And then outside of the center position, which is incredibly important in the near term, going into the long term, Patrick McCaw has had some real moments in the playoffs, particularly when Kevin Durant was out. Matt Barnes hasn't really had to prove it himself. Andre Iguodala has provided value despite struggling immensely to hit his shot until the final two games of their 8 so far. And then Draymond Green's offense has been positive. And with Green and Iguodala, it's not necessarily like, oh, Draymond's hitting a ton of threes right now, that's going to be the way it is forever. But it is something worth watching all the same. And if teams are going to keep conceding shots to both of those two, and they certainly should, the Warriors have great offensive options outside of those two, so that might be a choice that they are willing to make. The confidence to shoot those shots is incredibly important, and obviously making them is very important too. So what the Warriors are looking at, and Sean Livingston, I think, has done all right, and when you consider that it looks like he's still dealing with his finger issue on his right hand, that they have a larger group of players that Mike Brown, Steve Kerr, if he comes back, can feel comfortable playing, probably not in crunch time, but in games that matter. And I think about that in the context of what happened in today's Spurs-Rockets game, when even though they were dealing with foul trouble to Ryan Anderson and for a brief time with Clint Capella, Mike D'Antoni only played 7 guys the entire game. He really pushed those guys, and while that wasn't the reason their offense was so stagnant late in that game, it certainly makes it harder on those players to thrive and to achieve. And so the Warriors have two parts of that in their favor. One is, as I mentioned early on, the idea that their guys are more rested. Presumably that means that they can be ready for higher workloads when necessary. And also, they have more players that they can trust. So you can give spot rest if somebody like Klay Thompson gets in foul trouble, you can make it work. That does tie in, though, with something that is a little bit concerning to me from Game 4, when Mike Brown had to deal with Kevin Durant being in foul trouble in the first quarter. He got pulled early. He was pulled, it was like 6:40 left in the first quarter. So he got a long rest. And Durant still didn't start the second quarter with that second unit. He kept the group together and they got outplayed pretty significantly. It was an 8-2 run by the Jazz before Durant came in. And considering how well the Warriors started the game, that would have been a good time to start Durant in that group. Yeah, maybe he gets his third foul. That's a possibility. But you can maintain control. And that was something that happened against Portland that did not happen in that game. And full credit to the Jazz for really fighting back and giving it their all. But the Warriors had an opportunity, especially because Durant didn't score in the first quarter. So they were not relying on him offensively like they were in game three to exert control to not end the game, but to get it really close in that first half, and they let him off the hook. And so part of that was just the players not executing. Some of it was Utah having some good talent on the floor. Exum was great in that second quarter. But it is worth noting that circumstances presented one clear option, and Coach Brown did not take it. So that's something to watch moving forward. And then the other important thing about the playoffs so far, and I'm going to focus this more on the West, but I'll talk a little bit about the Cavs, is neither the Rockets nor the Spurs has shown this divine spark to make you think that they are so much better than they were in the regular season. Houston has struggled in crunch time. They also got beat starters versus starters by and large in the Oklahoma City series. And granted, Oklahoma City starters are good, even if they get their butts kicked by the Warriors because their talent doesn't mesh. So that's not the biggest thing in the world, but it is worth noting that, you know, it's not like a team is coming on gangbusters. Like, we kind of thought the Blazers might have been going into that series if Nurkic hadn't gotten hurt. The exception to that, to a point, is Cleveland. Cleveland has been phenomenal offensively. LeBron has been great. A lot of their support players have been hitting their shots. And their defense has been better. Their defense was abysmal in the regular season. It has been better in the playoffs. They're actually fourth in defense right now. But remember that the teams they've been playing have specific structural weaknesses that the Warriors do not have. So when they played Indiana, a big part of what worked for Cleveland was, in some key moments, most notably in Game 3 of that series, they just had some guys that they actively did not guard. Lance Stephenson was one of them. Monte Ellis at moments was another. They had a few guys that the Pacers play in the rotation who are perimeter guys who just can't shoot. And against the Raptors, they did the same basic approach with PJ Tucker at moments. They did with Corey Joseph at moments. And the Warriors don't have any of those guys. They don't have any players that you can actively not defend. They have players that you can help off of and things like that. You know, that's what Draymond and Iguodala, that's why I said leaving them open is often a good strategy. But they don't have that in the same way. And that's why it will be fascinating to see either Boston or Washington in the next series, because starting five versus starting five, those teams have fewer hiding places as well. And Cleveland is still going to be a really good team. Their offense is amazing. Their defense is better than it was in the playoffs or in the regular season, because they sucked in the regular season, partially due to effort and talent. You know, they narrowed their rotations and all that kind of stuff. But they will get a much better test in the next round, whoever they face. And again, we don't know who that's going to be. Basically the same timeline as the Warriors series, because they're going to play game five tomorrow on Wednesday. So today for most of you listening to this. So I think those are the large scale things. So you have, to recap it, health, rest, dominance despite health and rest, and the idea that nobody has really sparked other than maybe the Cavs and Cleveland. We just need to see a different sample to get a clear sense of exactly what they are. So in total, that means the Warriors are in very good position. Being in very good position does not guarantee a championship. It does not guarantee anything, especially as we've seen in these playoffs. You never know how long health is going to last. We saw that last year too. But being in a good position after two rounds is an overwhelmingly positive thing, just because it makes it more likely. We're in a probability game here, and nothing is ever going to be 100% until the final whistle of the final game. But giving yourself the best chance is an important part of it, and I have been surprised by how many of those things have gone well for the Warriors, even if in the micro sense, some of them have not. I mean, Klay Thompson has not been great during these playoffs. Durant missed time due to injury. Curry has been hit or miss. He hasn't had too much of those vintage, you know, MVP Steph performances. He has had some moments, but not that often. Green has been spectacular, and the centers and some of the bench players have outperformed expectations overall. But we're not seeing the Warriors firing on all cylinders at this point, and the rest of the league should be scared by that because they're still outscoring opponents by 17 points per 100 possessions. So it's not all sunshine and daisies, but it's about as good as you could reasonably expect at this point. So that's enough for now. I am going to try to put out podcasts the next two nights or the next 2 days as well, Wednesday, Thursday, keep the normal schedule. Again, we don't know when the Warriors are going to play. Might do a watch guide for game 6 of Rocket Spurs, might not, legitimately unsure, partially because of the Kawhi Leonard stuff. I don't know how interesting that game's going to be. I don't know if I want to do that sort of a thing, but of course I'll have new material. Might do a mailbag, still trying to figure out what I'm going to have time for with everything else. So if you have any feedback on the show, good, bad, or indifferent, DannyLaRueNBA@gmail.com, @DannyLarue on Twitter. If you want to support the show, leave a rating, leave a review in the podcast player of your choosing. You can also subscribe, download every episode. You can also check out my work for The Athletic. I, of course, did my standard game analysis piece after game 4, and I'll probably do something heading into the next series, but it's so weird because don't know who the opponent's going to be yet. So, and there won't be much lead time, especially if it goes to a game 7. So I'll do something. Don't know exactly what it's going to be yet. And going to try to have some people on. Also, if you want to just support my work more broadly, you can check out Dunked On, the Twitter NBA show, which I'm doing with Nate Duncan. We did Spurs Rockets tonight. We're also just starting, it's called Dunked On Video. Somebody graciously is helping us take our commentary from the Twitter NBA show and match it up with the video so you can watch it. We did the last couple minutes of Spurs Rockets in that. You can check it on my timeline. And also, very cool announcement that my off-season previews, for those of you who know, I'm a CBA nerd, and I do off-season previews for all 30 NBA teams. Those will be at Sports Illustrated this year. It's an amazing opportunity. I'm super happy about it. And that will include the Warriors at some point. I haven't really started theirs yet. I'm starting in other places. The Jazz and the Raptors came out today, and I have another, I think, 3 or 4 in the can working on some of it every day. So that's enough for now. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, and make it a great day.